Thank you, choir. Would you pray with me? Father God, in this moment, in this place, we are thankful for the words of a song like that that reminds us that you are holding tighter still to us, that we can trust John chapter 10, which tells us that you hold us in your hand and you will not let us go. Father, thank you for the truth of that scripture. Father, as we gather here in this room and as we gather in the venue today, as we open your word, Lord, speak to us through the Gospel of John. These words were written so many years ago. They are so full of truth for us today. So, Father, please speak to us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we wrap up our series, Doing Things That Matter, we will again be in the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we've spent the entire month, 4 weeks, in John, mostly in, well, 3 or 4 different chapters, but all in the Gospel of John. And today we will conclude this message series, Doing Things That Matter. Next week will be a special Palm Sunday service that is a communion service. We're going to have a beautiful time together next Sunday, so please come and invite someone to come with you. Then on Easter Sunday, we begin a new message series, Impossible Kingdom. But really, it's Possible Kingdom. It's all the things that God can do. As we turn today to John chapter 20, though, let me remind us, because we have some people who are maybe new to church, or maybe you've been here a long time, but you still don't fully understand all of God's word. Let me quickly, just for all of us, a nice reminder. The Bible, this book, is really not a book. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The Bible's not one book. It's 66 different books together. It's important that we understand this. It's a collection. It's 18 books of history. It's 5 books of poetry. It's 18 books of prophecy. It's 21 letters written by people to churches or individuals. And it's 4 gospel accounts of Jesus' life. 4 books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are eyewitness accounts of the life of Jesus. It gives us the account of Jesus' lives. Now, what's interesting is that the Bible was not written by 1 man, 2 men, 3 men, 4 men. The Bible, these 66 books, the collection, was written by over 40 different authors. This includes kings. It includes fishermen. It includes shepherds. It includes judges. One doctor, prophets. At least 3 of the men who authored part of the scripture had committed murder in their past. There's all kinds of people who have written part of what we know as God's holy word, the Bible. It contains stories of love, of passion, of betrayal, of conquest, stories of adventure. There's even some fiction in there. There's parables that are told. They're truthful stories of fiction to tell us and teach us things. All kinds of beautiful truth here in scripture. It was written over a 1,500-year time frame in multiple languages, in Hebrew, in Aramaic, and in Greek. And it was written on 3 different continents even, on Asia, Africa, and Europe. Miraculously, though, every single book, all 66 books of what you have, if you have a copy of God's Word or if you're looking at it on a tablet or on a phone, all 66 books point to Jesus in one or multiple ways. Amen. What's awesome is to know that the story of God intersects with the story of mankind, and that's what we have here in the Bible. And if you want to know if the Bible's accurate or not, the reality is, and you can study for yourself, and there's plenty of places to study it, there's more evidence of the historical accuracy of the Bible than of any other book of antiquity. Any other book written, any other older book written, there is more historical evidence that the Bible is accurate than any other one. But a lot of us in this room, we don't even need that historical accuracy. We're glad we have it and can build a foundation on it, but we know it's true. Why? You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. We have seen and experienced the truth and miracle of this book. But today, we will look in the Gospel of John. If you are opening your Bible trying to find John, the first half is the Old Testament. The second half is the New Testament. And the New Testament begins with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospel accounts. So today, we will be in the Gospel of John. But to give you a little understanding of why there are four Gospels and not one Gospel, why do we have multiple accounts of the life of Jesus? There's a wonderful website, gotquestions.org. I've mentioned it multiple times over the last 8 years here. And I would encourage you to write that down somewhere as a good resource for you. It is a good biblically based website. Now listen, you just search things about the Bible online, you'll find all kinds of stuff. So don't do that. But you need to know where you're going and what you're looking for. Gotquestions.org is a reliable Bible-based website that holds true to the fact that the Bible is God's holy word, infallible, true, without any error. And so it has some wonderful information there. But one of the things that I found this week that I'll read to you is a little account of how the Gospels are different. It says this: each one of the Gospels was written for a different audience and emphasizes different things about Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew was written primarily for the Jews and emphasized how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies of a kingly Messiah. The Gospel of Mark was written primarily for Roman or Gentile Christians, so it includes very few Old Testament prophecies, but it explains many Jewish words and customs in the writing. Jesus is portrayed in Mark as the divine servant. Then there's the Gospel of Luke. Luke was also written primarily for Gentile believers, as it also explains Jewish customs and uses Greek names. Luke set out to write an orderly narrative of the life of Jesus and presented Jesus as the Son of Man, emphasizing the full humanity of Jesus. And then there's John. John's gospel emphasizes Jesus as the Son of God and includes more of Jesus' revelations about himself than any other gospel account. John wants everyone to believe in Jesus and be saved. Now that's the truth of John's gospel. John's gospel was written so that we might know that Jesus is the Son of God. He wrote this book so that many people would come to know him as Savior. I'll show you in today's scripture, John chapter 20, beginning in verse 30. Look and see what it says. Now Jesus, this is John writing, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. John says, I wrote these words so that you would know Jesus is the Son of God and that you can believe, and by believing, you would have life in his name. John's entire purpose was to communicate what he had seen himself, what he had experienced himself with Jesus, so that others would trust in Jesus. This, my friends, is the answer to doing things that matter. Each week we've talked a little bit more about what doing things that matter looks like, but here's the ultimate of all of it. Doing things that matter is all about living the story of God so that others can see Jesus and want to know him. We are meant to live our lives as storytellers of God's goodness and God's grace. You and I, we are, with our lives, writing a story. But here's the difference. It's not really supposed to be our story. It's God's story. God is writing his story in us through our everyday living. And so John lived his life to point to Jesus. And I have to tell you, there is no greater goal for you or for me. So can I ask you, what kind of story are you writing? Think about it. If you were to write a story, you'd have to determine what type of story you wanted to write first. So with your life, how you've been living it, what kind of story have you been writing? Has it been a comedy? Nudge the person next to you if that's what their life has been. Has it been a tragedy? Maybe for you, your life has been a cartoon. I feel like sometimes mine is. I have to tell you, I got permission from my son to tell you this. Here's an example of how I sometimes feel like I write a cartoon. It'd make a good one. I found myself last week in a discussion with my son. You ever had a discussion with your child? It was an argument, but I'm being, you know, we were struggling through something, and I found, this is how cartoon-like I found my life to be. At one point, I look at him with a mean voice and a loud voice. I said, son, this is not America. This is my house. I don't know where that came from. I don't know. I mean, we live in America. I don't have a sovereign state, but I do have a dictatorship at my home. Amen, Dad? Anyway. All right. So, but I thought, after I said it, I thought, what am I saying? I didn't tell him I thought, what am I saying? But I thought, what am I saying? And that's the case. Sometimes life's a cartoon. Maybe for you, your life story's been more like a how-to manual. You've seen some difficult days. You've seen some good days. Or maybe it's been like a horror story. For me, the last month, there's been one little aspect that's felt like a bad horror movie. I'm feeling so much better, have so much more strength than I did before I ever had my heart surgery. But something's happened. I've had one side effect. I don't sleep well, and I wake up, except for last night, I slept good. So you may be in for a long sermon. But other than that, I don't sleep good. And I've not slept good for a long time, and I wake up every night around 1 o'clock, and I'm usually up till 3, 3:30 or 4 every night. It's getting old. Now, I know some hyper-spiritual person in the room is going to say, God's trying to talk to you. No, he's not. He's saying, go to sleep. I'm telling you right now, that's not what's happening. He wants me to sleep. The Bible, Jesus slept in the Bible, and we see him sleeping in the Bible. He wants me to sleep. But for me, that's been like a horror story to wake up every night, because I wake up, my eyes open, I know it's 1 o'clock. It'll be 1 o'clock, 1:03, 1:15. Some of you have that same problem. You understand. The reality is, sometimes life seems like a cartoon, sometimes like a horror story. But all of us, the story that God is wanting you to write is an adventure. Now, I'm not saying that every part of your life is adventurous. And I'm not saying that everything you do will be an adventure. You sit down to pay your bills, that's not an adventure. Now, maybe it is. I mean, I understand. But every chapter of your life won't feel like one. But you and I were created to live an adventure, the adventure of God in our lives. We've been created to glorify him and to point others to him. We use our gifts to do it. We use our talents to do it. We use our abilities to do it. We use our circumstance to do it. We use our family relations to do it. We use the good days and the bad days, but it's all designed to point people to Jesus and to give him glory. Let me show you what I mean. If you'll turn now to the book of Romans, just move to the right two books from where you are. Romans chapter 10, written by the Apostle Paul. I'm going to begin in verse 9, and we're going to unpack these six verses for the next few moments together. Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, it says this: Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Amen? That's a big thing. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Verse 11, for the scripture says, everyone, shout out everyone with me. Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing the riches on all who call on him. For verse 13, everyone, one more time. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Jesus, right here in these words, reminds us through Paul, who quotes from the Old Testament, this beautiful passage, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. He says here, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Listen, friends, God's word says everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do we believe that? Everyone. It's what sets us apart. In the Christian movement, we believe everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I wrote down some examples. That includes the mother with her newborn baby in a Syrian refugee camp in Lebanon. That includes the man in an underground Bible study in Kyrgyzstan in Central Asia. That includes the witch doctor driving through the streets of Aflao, Ghana, West Africa, who hears the gospel and repents. That includes the Samoan family living in an impoverished neighborhood in Anchorage, Alaska. That includes the young lady who is selling her body at an Atlantic City gentleman's club in New Jersey. That includes the family that's collecting trash for food today out of a garbage dump in the Sisua Dominican Republic. That includes the family from the Wolof tribe of people in Senegal, West Africa, who already live three or four doors down from where the Porch family is going to be moving in less than a month, and they haven't even met him yet. But those people need Jesus. That includes the orphan children living at Sunrise Children's Home in Jinja, Uganda. It includes the businessman in Iran and in Pakistan who work with our ministry contact who serves out of Dubai. See, this idea that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, all of those folks can call on him and be saved. But everyone also includes the Hispanic family that just moved to Albertville, and not a single person in that family speaks any English. Everyone includes the Haitian family that has moved into your neighborhood just down the street from you. Everyone includes the convenience store attendant where you stop and get your coffee and soft drink and buy your gas. Everyone includes the person who works next door to you. Everyone includes the family that sits in the stands next to you at your child or grandchild's sporting events. Everyone includes the family member who lives in your home who does not respond to the gospel yet. Everyone includes that neighbor that you can't even get them to wave. You do everything you can to get them to wave. They won't even look at you. Everyone even includes them. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the happily ever after of the story you're writing. That's the happily ever after of the story of God. That everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But just like any good story, there's a problem. And life's story has a problem as well. Look back at Romans 10:14. Let's take this verse by verse. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Listen, this may sound oversimplified, but it's truth. There's no way to believe in something you've never heard of. There's no way to believe in something you've never heard of. That was or is the problem of every person you've ever met and every person you have never met. Let me say it again. That was or is the problem of every person you've ever met and every person you've never met. If they have never heard, they don't have a way to believe. So how can they believe if they've not heard, and how can they hear without someone preaching? Aren't you glad it says you have to preach? Here's the deal. Some of us in here say, whew, I'm glad I'm not a preacher. I'm glad he's the preacher up there, the guy in red, and not me. That's the preacher. I just help support the preacher, and I'm a part of the team, but I'm not the preacher. Listen, let me explain a few things to us all really quickly. If you're listening on radio, if you're watching online, if you're right here together, if you were to look at the original language, the Greek, this is important. This word preach is the word charisso. And the word charisso literally means to announce or to herald. So we make the mistake of identifying this word preach with the guy who stands behind a pulpit like this and thinking, well, that's what preaching is. When the reality is, this is a form of preaching. And some of you call me preacher, but I thought about just calling you preacher right back, because you're one too. It would throw you off a little bit if I did. But we're all preachers. We're all heralds. We all make announcements. And so we have falsely identified the idea of preaching with standing behind a pulpit. When this scripture that says, how can they hear without someone preaching? It means, how can they hear without someone announcing it? How can they hear without someone heralding it? Preachers do preach, but every believer is called to preach. You and I are called to herald the gospel. So that idea, the Christmas song, it's one of my favorites, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. That Christmas song is talking about Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn king. It's talking that the angels are the heralds. It's referring to the scripture verse where the angels show up and announce Jesus, and they announce him at multiple places in the nativity story. And so that song is so fun to sing because we think it's talking about angels. But I love Christmas, for the sake of this message, I was going to rewrite a verse of Hark the Herald Angels Sing to prove the point of this song. We're going to sing it together a cappella. Everybody ready? Here we go. Put it up on the screen there. Now we're going to sing it. And I want you to sing it as if Christmas is next week. But pay attention to the words. They're a little different. Here we go. Let me get a right good key. Okay, here we go.
Hark the herald people sing, glory to the Savior King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With believing hosts proclaim, Christ is Savior of all men. Hark the herald people sing, glory to the Savior King.
You sound good. I got to tell you, it's 261 days to Christmas. I had to tell you. I just get excited hearing that song, but it's close. But this, did you see the words that were changed? It's not the angels. We're the heralds. You are to herald the gospel. I am to herald the gospel. We are not angels. And contrary to myth of the day and American folklore, when you die, you won't be becoming an angel. Angels were created angels. You were created human. Listen, there's much joy in being created human. You are just as infinite from this moment forward as the angel. For those that know Christ, we will be heralds announcing his coming, and then we will be announcing the gospel for the rest of our lives. Even in eternity, we get to speak the good news and the gospel of God. So you and I are called to herald the gospel. Think back to those people I mentioned earlier. Think it through. The mother with the newborn baby in the Syrian refugee camp in Lebanon. We had three ladies that just returned from Lebanon on Thursday. They spent a week there holding babies, sharing the gospel, loving on people. They were a herald of the gospel. Chris and Kim Todd are heralds of the gospel every day there. The man in an underground Bible study in Kyrgyzstan, our missionaries, Greg and Zoya, they are heralds of the gospel. Some of our newest missionaries for Advance 2020, Julian and Ala, that you met in January, they are heralds for the gospel in this area. The witch doctor driving through the streets of Aflao, Ghana, West Africa, I had the privilege of being one who get to herald the gospel. I've been able to preach to him more than once and to see his life was transformed when someone else led him to Christ, but to now see what God has done. Listen, herald of the gospel, to see it there. The Samoan family living in Anchorage, Alaska. Many of you met Preston and Megan Egler in January, our missionaries to Anchorage, Alaska, the church planters. Well over 140 different people groups living in Anchorage. They're heralds of the gospel there. The young lady selling her body at an Atlantic City gentleman's club, Sissy and Buff McNichol, our Advance 2020 partners in Atlantic City. They are ministering to, and they are heralds of the gospel to ladies in that situation. The family collecting trash for food in the Dominican Republic, our partners with Cups of Cold Water Wish Ministries there, Jan and Elizabeth Tunier and others, they're heralds of the gospel there. That family that's going to live next to the Wolof tribe, that is David and Holly Ports. They'll be leaving in less than a month to move their family to Senegal, West Africa, to begin their adventure right there in that place. The orphan children living in Sunrise Children's Home in Jinja, Uganda that I mentioned, Ivan and Melissa Makulu that you met in January, they are heralds of the gospel. They're arriving sometime later today back on the field there to be busy again for the gospel's sake. Dozens and dozens and dozens of children that they're responsible for. The businessman in Iran and Pakistan, those people that are hearing the gospel, our partners Jay and A who are on the ground there serving, making a difference in a very difficult place. They're heralds of the gospel. But remember, everyone is called to be a herald. You and I are called to be a herald. I mentioned the Hispanic family that just moved to Albertville that doesn't speak any English at all. The herald of the gospel, it's you. It's me. That Haitian family that moved down the street in your neighborhood, the one that's to herald the gospel to them, it's you. It's me. The convenience store clerk that you see every day, it's you. It's me. The person who works next door to you, it's us. You and me. The family that sits next to you at the sporting event, it's you. It's me. The family member who lives in our homes, it's us. The neighbor we can't get to wave, it's us. We are to preach the gospel. Verse 15 again. And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Friends, we have been sent. I could tell you scripture after scripture. Most of us, if you've been around church very long, you know them. That where Jesus calls us out, where he sends us, we're told to go and make disciples time and time again. We are the sent ones. We are the called ones and the sent ones in the scripture. So we know we are sent over and over. So I would simply ask you, do you want to do something that matters? Do you? Look down at your feet. Looking at mine, my shoes anyway. Now, when you look at your feet, I'm not going to ask you to take your shoes off or anything, but when you look at your feet, what do you see? The answer may depend on your age, your gender, the amount of miles you put on those feet. I don't know. Well, everybody has a different idea of what they look like themselves or what others see. But I'll tell you this, the scripture is clear of what God wants to see when he looks at your feet. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. So doing what matters most means preaching on purpose. Doing what matters means preaching on purpose. So can I ask you to think about this for a moment? Would you purpose in your life to be a herald of the gospel this week? Now I know if we were to try to count how many times a minister has stood behind a pulpit or podium at this church or any other and said, please share the gospel, it'd be tens of thousands of times over the lifetime of a church. But the reality is, if we really want to do what matters, we have to take serious the call and remind each other and encourage one another to herald the gospel this week. Purpose in your life to be a herald of the gospel, not only with your words, but also with your finances. Can I encourage you? All of those people that I mentioned that herald the gospel around the world, every last one of those are some of our Advance 2020 missions partners. That means that every month we pull together some resources above and beyond your regular giving. We pull together some resources and we divide those in different ways, but we have allotments we give each month to our Advance 2020 partners. And we are helping them to be a herald of the gospel where they are. Can I let you in on a little secret, though? We've had the Advance 2020 emphasis going since January of 2012. We are now in our eighth year. We will come to what at the end of that and start the beginning of the ninth year in 2020. And it's going to be a big year. We're excited about the conference, have some great things planned for next year. We have some great things in mind to take that to a whole nother level in the future. We'll have to have a little name change, but we're going to keep going. But here's the reality of it that you may not know. Out of all the families in our church, it's really about 40 different family units that are supporting Advance 2020. Nobody else is giving to it. So the reality is there would be well over 60, 70% of our congregation that's here that never is a part of that. Now, you get to have part of the benefits of Advance 2020, but can I encourage you to really consider that you will help be a herald of the gospel for those? You say, well, I didn't know that. How do I do that? It's simply making a designated gift above and beyond your regular giving. That's to Advance 2020. Our envelopes, our giving envelopes say that. There's plenty of ways to do it. Listen, and it only takes a little. I'm not saying those 40 families are all doing a ton. It's varied amounts, but it only takes a little. $5, $10, $100, whatever the case may be, to be a part of sowing seeds there. I love how the author Randy Alcorn says it in thinking of the scripture that reminds us that we can store up our treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, or we can store up our treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. He says this, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. Let me say it again. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. You can't take all your finances with you, but you can send on ahead the blessing of God by investing in eternal things. So can I, my challenge for the remainder of 2019 is that we could get to a place where 100% of our church members who attend this church are giving in some way to the Advance 2020 Fund, that we can be a bigger blessing to our missions and missionaries locally and around the world. So that can be the way we cap off and celebrate what's coming with the culmination of Advance 2020 and the start of the next chapter of that. Would you prayerfully consider that just above and beyond your regular giving, just a little gift? It could be a dollar, whatever the case may be. It's you and I investing together in God's kingdom plan in that place. So would you consider that? I hope that you will. That will help us be a herald of the gospel. But then lastly, I would say this, purpose in your life and in mine to be a herald of the gospel with your actions this week. I would encourage you to have planned acts of kindness, not random acts, but planned acts of kindness that have a gospel explanation. Planned acts of kindness with a gospel explanation. I'll give you an example of the best way to do it. When you came in, you either sat on one of these little round cards or you had to move it. Either way, if you sat on it, now's a good time to get it out. But if you didn't sit on it, grab it real quick. And I want to show you this. This our little Easter circles. It's Easter Sunday at Abbeville FBC, 10:15 a.m. The back gives our information in the website. There is a clear gospel presentation on our website. There's information about us. Here's what I would encourage you to do this week. I would encourage you at some point have a planned act of kindness of some type. Maybe it's you, if you normally tip 20% at lunch on Sunday, I hope if that's what you do, maybe this Sunday you're feeling generous, you'll tip 40% and you'll leave this. Now, don't leave this if you leave a dollar tip and that has nothing, okay? Don't be that guy that leaves one of these and does that, okay? I'll never forget the waitress where I was at a restaurant once and she said, I can't believe this is the tip I got. And there was no money there, but it was one of those gospel tracts that looked like a $20 bill, but instead had a message. I thought, somebody needs to give that guy who did that the holy hand of fellowship. But anyway, if you're that guy, it wasn't here. Okay, so, but I've got some planned act of kindness and then say, can I invite you to come be a part of the Easter service? Because the most important thing we can celebrate is that Jesus is alive. He's changed my life. That's an intentional gospel part of the conversation. It's just that simple. Talk about what Jesus has done for you. We'll just give you a little tool to help you. Will you use that this week? Take it. Give it to someone. Some planned act of kindness. Do something for your neighbor. Pull their garbage can in. Stop and say, can I invite you? Can I tell you, Jesus has changed my life. I know you probably know that already, but let me just remind you that he has. Planned act of kindness. Herald the gospel today. All of us become preachers. And then lastly, just purpose in your life to share the gospel. When the opportunity arises, that we will be ready to preach in season and out of season. Same word, to announce in season and out of season the good news of Jesus. Would you pray with me? Would you bow your heads with the heads bowed and eyes closed for just a moment of privacy? What about you? Somebody preached to you. It may have been a parent, a Sunday school teacher, a friend, a neighbor. I don't know who it was, but somebody shared the good news with you. Somebody preached it to you. They announced it to you. They heralded you with the gospel. You too can do the same for others. Also, when you think about that, I would encourage you to take a second and stop and just be thankful. Just thank God for that one that preached to you the first time. And now maybe you would stop and say, Father, can I be that one for somebody else? That family member that I'm not sure of their salvation, that neighbor, that coworker, that person I see every week at the store, or whatever the case may be. Maybe for some, it's going to be as simple as the next step for you to take the planned act of kindness challenge, that you would step out of your comfort zone a little and herald the gospel. Just talk about how good Jesus is to somebody along with a planned act of kindness for them. Maybe for you, though, you're here and you say, I hear you talk about Jesus and how good he is, and I hear you talk about the fact that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I need to call on the name of the Lord. If you're here and you need to give your life to Jesus, when we sing in a second, come see me. I'll be standing right here. I'd love to share with you how you can give your life to Jesus. Maybe for others, though, you've done that, but now it's time you follow through with believer's baptism. You have Jesus in your life, but you want to show it to the world by showing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and what he's done in your life. Maybe others, God's calling you to unite with this church. You want to join and be a part of this army of believers as we seek to make a difference and support those who herald the gospel through Advance 2020. Support those who herald the gospel through our North American Mission Board offering, the Annie Armstrong offering we're about to start. To support through being involved in serving and leading in different ways in our city and our community. You want to be a part of this. That's what God is saying, you come. But maybe still others, you just need to pray. You can come right down front to these steps and kneel down and pray. We'd love to pray with you. You can have a time of privacy if you'd like. Father God, please have your way among us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's stand together.